Richard knows it waits for them. Each tunnel he goes down, each turning, each branch he walks, the feeling grows in urgency and weight. He knows it is there, waiting, and the sense of impending catastrophe increases with every step. He knows that it should have been a relief when he turns the final corner and sees it standing there, framed in the tunnel, waiting for him. Instead, he feels only dread. In his dream, it is the size of the world. There is nothing left in the world but the beast. Its flanks steaming, broken spars and juts of old weapons prickled from its hide. There is dried blood on its horns and on its tusks. It is gross and vast and evil. And then it charges. He raises his hand, but it isn't his hand. And he throws the spear at the creature. He sees its eyes, red and vicious and gloating as they float towards him, all in a fraction of a second that becomes a tiny forever. And then it is upon him. The water was cold, and it hit Richard's face like a slap. His eyes jerked open, and he caught his breath. Hunter was looking down at him. She was holding a large wooden bucket. It was empty. He reached up one hand. His hair was soaked and his face was wet. He wiped the water from his eyes and shivered with cold.
"You didn't have to do that," said Richard.
His mouth tasted like several small animals had been using it as a restroom before liquefying into something vaguely green. He tried to stand and then sat down again suddenly.
"Ooh,"
he explained. "How's your head?" asked Hunter, professionally.
"It's been better," said Richard.
Hunter picked up another wooden bucket, this one filled with water, and hauled it across the stable floor.
"I don't know what you drank," she said, "but it must have been potent."
Hunter dipped her hand into the bucket and flicked it at Dor's face, spraying her with water. Dor's eyes flickered.
"Oh, no wonder Atlantis sank," muttered Richard. "If they all felt like this in the morning, it was probably a relief. Where are we?"
Hunter flicked another handful of water at Dor's face.
"In the stables of a friend," she said.
Richard looked around. The place did look a little like a stable. He wondered if it were for horses. What kind of horses would live beneath the ground? There was a device painted on the wall, the letter S. Or was it a snake? Richard could not tell. Circled by seven stars. Dor reached a tentative hand up to her head and touched it experimentally, as if she were unsure just what she might find.
"Oh,"
she said in a near whisper.
"Temple and arch. Am I dead?"
"No," said Hunter.
"Pity."
Hunter helped her to a standing position.
"Well,"
said Dor, sleepily.
"He did warn us. It was strong."
And then Dor woke up completely, very hard, very fast. She grabbed Richard's shoulder, pointed to the device on the wall, the snaky S with the stars surrounding it. She gasped and looked for all the world like a small mouse that had just realized it had wandered into a cattery.
"Serpentine," she said to Richard, to Hunter. "That's Serpentine's crest. Richard, get up. We have to run before she finds out we're here."
"And do you think," asked a dry voice from the doorway, "that you could enter Serpentine's house without Serpentine knowing, child?" Dor pushed herself back against the wood of the stable wall. She was trembling. Richard realized, through the pounding in his head, that he had never seen Dor so actually and obviously scared before. Serpentine stood in the doorway. She was wearing a white leather corset and high white leather boots, and the remains of what looked like it had once, long ago,
been a silk and lace confection of a white wedding dress, now shredded and dirt-stained and torn. She towered above them all. Her shock of greying hair brushed the door lintel. Her eyes were sharp, and her mouth was a cruel slash in an imperious face. She looked at Dor as if she took terror as her due, as if she had become so used to fear that she now expected it, even liked it.
"Calm yourself," said Hunter.
"But she's Serpentine," wailed Dor. "Of the Seven Sisters."
Serpentine inclined her head cordially. Then she stepped out of the doorway and walked toward them. Behind her was a thin woman with a severe face and long dark hair, wearing a black dress pinched wasp-thin at the waist. The woman said nothing. Serpentine walked over to Hunter.
"Hunter worked for me long ago," said Serpentine.
She reached out a white finger and gently stroked Hunter's brown cheek with it, a gesture of affection and possession. And then,
"You've kept your looks better than I, Hunter."
Hunter looked down.
"Her friends are my friends, child," said Serpentine. "You adore?"
"Yes," said Dor, dry-mouthed.
Serpentine turned on Richard.
"And what are you?"
she asked, unimpressed.
"Richard," said Richard. "I am Serpentine,"
she told him graciously.
"So I gathered," said Richard.
"There is food waiting for all of you," said Serpentine, "should you wish to break your fast."
"Oh, God, no,"
whimpered Richard politely. Dor said nothing. She was still backed against the wall, still trembling gently like a leaf in an autumn breeze. The fact that Hunter had clearly brought them here as a safe haven was doing nothing to assuage her fear.
"What is there to eat?" asked Hunter.
Serpentine looked at the wasp-waisted woman in the doorway.
"Well?"
she asked. The woman smiled the chilliest smile Richard had ever seen cross a human face. Then she said,
"Fried eggs, poached eggs, pickled eggs, curried venison, pickled onions, pickled herring, smoked herring, salted herrings, mushroom stew, salted bacon, stuffed cabbage, mutton hot pot, calf's foot jelly."
Richard opened his mouth to plead with her to stop, but it was too late. He was suddenly, violently, awfully sick. He wanted someone to hold him, to tell him that everything would be all right, that he'd soon be feeling better. Someone to give him an aspirin and a glass of water and show him back to his bed. But nobody did, and his bed was another life away. He washed the sick from his face and hands with water from the bucket. Then he washed out his mouth. Then, swaying gently, he followed the four women to breakfast.